The internet and social media literally exploded a couple of weeks ago over a picture of this dress. And the deal is that no one could agree as to the color of this dress. Now, how many of you think that dress is white and gold? Let me see your hands. All right, how many of you see it is black and blue? Let me see your hands. Well, you're wrong. It's some of you are saying, I see both. Well, actually, the deal is, what has made this so intriguing is that the color of the dress depends upon your perspective. Now, I noticed this last night. I was looking at this picture again last night on my laptop at home. And when you look at it with the lid of your laptop up straight, it looks white and gold. But if you tip it back, the dress looks blue and black. You see, it all depends on the perspective. And that's why there was so much disagreement about the color of this silly dress. And you know, I think that's also true in the circumstances of our lives. That perspective is everything, isn't it? It's how you look at the circumstances of your life that gets you through the difficult days. Whether you will only see the black and blue of the bruises that have hurt you, or you will see your circumstances, the white and the gold of God's good and glorious purposes for your life. And today we're going to see that in the life of our friend Stephen. Open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 7, verse 54. And as we're making our way through the book of Acts, we're introduced to some amazing characters and some of our amazing forerunners in the faith. And Stephen is one of my favorites. And you recall that Stephen goes to talk about Jesus in the Jewish synagogues. Well, of course, this enrages the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, and so they confront Stephen about it, but we're told in Acts chapter 6 that they could not stand up against Stephen's life. He has an unstoppable life. No matter how hard they resist him and argue with him, they couldn't withstand the spirit and the power by which he spoke. His was an unstoppable life. So Stephen then steps up to preach a sermon. Now Stephen, remember, is a deacon. He's a servant of the church. But he's also a wonderful preacher. And in Acts chapter 7, we have one of the most powerful sermons in all of the Bible. Not by an apostle, but by a deacon. Powerful witness for Jesus. And after preaching that sermon, Stephen is going to pay dearly for his faithfulness to Jesus Christ. But in spite of all of that, his life is unstoppable. Now we pick up reading in Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. When they heard this, that is Stephen's sermon, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Well, at this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and cried, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, Stephen has an amazing perspective as he faces this furious mob. You see again in verse 55 that Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, last week, we talked about the fullness of Stephen's life. The fact is that he was full of Jesus in his life, and Stephen was full of Jesus in his death. We talked last week about how the word full in a biblical sense means to be completely occupied with someone or something. And so when it says that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, that he was full of wisdom and full of faith and full of grace and full of power, he's full of Jesus. His life is just completely occupied with Christ. In fact, we have here the last three statements, the three last recorded statements of Stephen, and all of them either have Stephen talking about Christ or talking to Christ. He's just occupied with Jesus, even in the last hours of his life. And that gave him an unstoppable life. You see, I said last week, if you cut Stephen, he bleeds Jesus. You cut Stephen, he bleeds Jesus. When you're cut, what do you bleed? Who or what occupies your life? Now, it wasn't just that Stephen was faithful to God in the last hour of his life. The big deal here is that God was faithful to Stephen in the last hour of his life, because it tells us here in verse 55 that faced with everything Stephen is having to face here, that God had filled him with the Holy Spirit. Now, I just love that. You see, that's the promise of God's word, that in that hour when all of the demands are placed upon our life, as we are faithful to Jesus, God will be faithful to us. And Peter talks about this in 1 Peter 4 and verse 14. He says, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So what you can anticipate, that in that hour, that there will be a special anointing of the Spirit of God for you. And so God, it's not just that Stephen was faithful to God in his death. God was faithful to Stephen in his death. So we saw last week that over against this furious mob that is angry and hates Stephen, it says that his face was like the face of an angel. And so now we understand that what's happening here is that Stephen's face is just radiating the glory of God that he has seen in the presence of God, when he has this vision of Jesus seated at the right hand of God. And so Stephen's life was unstoppable. I want to tell you that when that last stone hit Stephen's body, when the last breath left his lungs, when the last brain wave coursed through his brain, Stephen was more alive than ever. Amen, church? What a wonderful truth that is for us. And so what gave him this victory was this vision of Christ. He said, I see Christ standing at the right hand of God. Now, it's this vision of Christ that makes a life unstoppable even in the face of death. First of all, it's a vision of the glory of Christ. A vision of the glory of Christ. Stephen said, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And so Stephen is face to face with death. And there, face to face with death, he sees Christ more clearly than he's ever seen him before. I love the way John Piper comments on this passage. He says, death raises its ugly head and threatens to take away from us all the pleasures of bright spring mornings and buds on the trees and warmth on the skin and colors of fall and the stars in the night sky. But instead of taking that all away, it opens up the window of heaven and reveals the glory of God. It threatens to take away our most precious relationships, but instead it shows Jesus standing to receive us. I don't mean that every believer will get the same vision of glory and of Jesus that Stephen got, but I do mean that this is the way the Holy Spirit comforts us when we are dying and robs death of its power. One way or another, he makes death a window to the glory of God and to Jesus. And for those who love Jesus more than anyone and long for the glory of God more than anything, the sting of death is gone and the power of death is broken. Amen. Now back to verse 56. Notice that Stephen saw Christ standing at the right hand of God. Now, this is different because most, if not all, of the other references in the New Testament of Jesus at the right hand of God has him seated there. But here, Stephen is standing, that Jesus is standing at the right hand of God. Now, what does that mean? We're not given an explanation here in the text, but many scholars believe that this is an indication. This is significant, that Jesus is standing, perhaps as an advocate before the Father, Stephen's advocate before the Father. Or perhaps he is standing there to welcome home the first one to die for the sake of Christ. A glorious homecoming for the first martyr. Well, in the last minutes of his life, Stephen testifies. I just love this. That with his last breaths, he is testifying of the exaltation of Christ. He proclaimed that Jesus, the Son of Man, is at the right hand of the Father. That this Jesus, whom they killed, whom they crucified, is alive now. And more than that, he is standing at the right hand of the Father. He is exalted to the place of highest supremacy in all of the universe. What a powerful witness Stephen gives in this hour, because he's seen Jesus. He's consumed with Jesus. You know, Jesus promised his followers in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. He says, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." You know what that tells me? It tells me that you stand up for Jesus and he'll stand up for you. You stand for God and he will stand for you. Now, we go on to Acts chapter 7 and we see, beginning in verse 57, that at this they didn't want to hear any more of it. They covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. You see, in their mind, these Jewish leaders, what Stephen had said about Jesus was tantamount to blasphemy. To say that Jesus is at the right hand of God means that Jesus is God, and that's blasphemy, and they didn't want to hear it. And so they understood in the Old Testament that one of the punishments for blasphemy was stoning. Now, stoning is... It was an ancient form, but it's practiced in some places even to this day. It is a form of execution where people will take stones or rocks and throw them at a person and pound them on a person until that person dies. It is a horrific way to die. You know, beheading is an instant death, but stoning is a long, slow, torturous death. And in fact, there's some descriptions about stoning that say that those doing the stoning should not use large rocks or stones that would kill the person after one or two blows. They were to choose stones or rocks that were not that large so that it would prolong the suffering. Nor were they to use stones or rocks that were too small that would not inflict pain on the person being executed. And this is the price that Stephen paid for faithfulness to Christ. But as brutal as his execution was, It could not stop his life because he has a vision, first, of the glory of God. So if you want an unstoppable life, a life that is unstoppable even by death, then you need this vision of Christ, the glory of Christ, but also you need a vision of the presence of Christ. That's the second thing, the presence of Christ. Look at verse 59. It says there, well, that while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." So Stephen is aware of the presence of Christ in that moment. Maybe those words sound familiar to you. You see, Stephen was full of Jesus in his life, and he was full of Jesus in his death, and Jesus had taught Stephen how to die. He learned from Jesus how to die. And remember that Luke, who is the author of Acts, is also the author of the Gospel of Luke, and he records this about the death of Jesus. Jesus' words from the cross in Luke 23, 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he said this, he breathed his last. Now, Stephen's prayer is very similar to Jesus' prayer. Jesus prayed to the Father. Stephen prays to the Lord Jesus. He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And in praying this, Stephen is showing that he wants more than anything else in life to be in the presence of Jesus. That is the most important thing to him, to be in the presence of Jesus. And so physical life, a physical death could not stop Stephen's life. Now, someone described it in these terms. I want you to imagine that you are dying in a small cabin in the woods. And the door to that cabin is death, is the experience of death. And so you are slowly moving toward the door, step by step, and suddenly the door flies open. And there before you is a ravenous wolf whose fangs are bared and whose eyes are furious. And immediately you are hit with terror and you begin to shrink back and step back from it. But then the Spirit helps you to see that standing behind the wolf is Jesus. And his arms are stretched out and he is shining like the sun. And there is a smile upon his face as though he is drawing you to himself. And so, hesitantly, with the help of the Spirit, you begin to make your way toward the door. And just as you step across the threshold, you realize that Jesus has something in his hand. He has a massive chain that is connected to an iron collar around the neck of the wolf. So as you step across that threshold, that wolf lunges at you with his mouth wide open, seeking to devour you, but just that quickly, with one tug on the chain, Jesus hurls the wolf completely out of sight. And you step into the arms of the Lord of glory. Church, that is death for the child of God. We don't have to fear it. In fact, it is our friend if it ushers us into the presence of the Lord who has saved us. This is what Paul is talking about in Romans 8, 38 and 39. When he said, "I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any other powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, Stephen has one more thing to say to Jesus before he died. Look at verse 60. "Then he fell on his knees and he cried out," he prays again, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, to have a life that is unstoppable, even by death. We need a vision of the glory of Christ and the presence of Christ, but we also need a vision of the grace of Christ. Now, again, Stephen learned how to die from Jesus. And Luke records the words of Jesus again as he's hanging upon the cross. In Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Sounds very similar to the prayer of Stephen, doesn't it? And we saw back in Acts chapter 6 that Stephen was a man full of, among other things, he was full of grace. Full of grace. Now, grace is the ability to give forgiveness to others who do not deserve it. Stephen was a man full of grace. He learned from Jesus how to die, and he learned from Jesus how to forgive. And so we see that Stephen falls down and he says, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." And with that, it says he fell asleep. What a wonderful way to describe death for a child of God. He fell asleep. I couldn't help but just notice the contrast between the faithful, peaceful death of Stephen over against the furious, raging hatred of his enemies. And he was able in that hour to forgive the ones who hurt him the worst. You see, that's exactly the way Jesus died. In fact, Peter describes this in 1 Peter 2, verse 23. He talks about Jesus' death when he says, "When they hurled their insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Friend, listen. The time to forgive is now. Let God be the judge. Let him take care of all those wrongs that have been committed against you. Don't go to your grave holding a grudge or a bitter spirit against someone else. Stephen's life was unstoppable because he had a vision of the glory of Christ and the presence of Christ and the grace of Christ. But there's one more thing. You need a vision of the purpose of Christ. The purpose of Christ. Now, Stephen had no way of knowing this, but we know it by the inspiration and the revelation of Scripture. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. "And Saul was there giving approval to Stephen's death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." Now, just looking at the death of Stephen alone, we might be tempted to say, you know what? Wow, what a noble way for a man to die. But in the end, it's just one man's death. But Luke wants us to see more than that, doesn't he? He wants us to understand how Stephen's death was connected to the purposes of God in the life of a man by the name of Saul. We already learned that those who were executing Stephen placed their garments, their cloaks, their coats at the feet of Saul. Some scholars believe that's an indication, a signal, that Saul was one of the leaders in this. That he's standing there. In fact, it tells us here again in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, that Saul was giving his approval to what is happening to Stephen. And Luke wants us to see that this death of Stephen is connected to God's purposes for Saul. Now, spoiler alert here, spoiler alert. We're going to read on in the book of Acts that this Saul of Tarsus is going to meet Jesus one day on the road to Damascus. And Saul will tell in his testimony later in Acts that it was Stephen's death that God used to begin to drive a nail into his heart and convict him of his sin. Stephen had no way of knowing that his death would be used by God to save the man who would be the greatest persecutor of the church, who Saul of Tarsus, later to become the Apostle Paul, would become the greatest missionary of the church, and whose inspired writings would give us a huge chunk of our New Testament. Stephen had no way of knowing that his death would be used by God. He was just faithful to Jesus. But there's more. Because we're told here that the death of Stephen instigated another wave of persecution, so that most of the believers in Jerusalem were forced to flee. And it tells us in verse 1 there that they scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, do those words ring a bell with you? Acts 1:8, the central verse in all of the book of Acts, Jesus said to his followers, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria." Stephen had no way of knowing that in his faithfulness to Jesus in that hour, he had no way of knowing that God was going to use his death to flush the church out of the pocket in Jerusalem and set them on their way on this unstoppable mission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And you see, God, it's all about your perspective. We can look at Stephen's death here and say, that's awful. What an awful thing to do to a man. But when we see it from the perspective of God's glorious purposes, we don't see the black and blue bruises on Stephen's life. We see the white and gold glorious purposes of God that have worked out through his life, so that the gospel is sent to the ends of the earth. And you're looking at circumstances in your life right now, and you have no way of knowing that those changes that are happening to you, God is orchestrating to bring about his good and glorious purposes in your life. And you need a vision of this. We received word over the weekend that one of our dear sisters in Christ here in our church and one of our administrative assistants, Monica Moore, Ward, has cancer. It was a devastating diagnosis. And on Friday, Nan and I visited Monica in the hospital. And Monica happens to be a cousin to the father of Dr. Kent Brantley. Remember, Dr. Kent Brantley was the medical missionary working in West Africa, and he contracted Ebola from the patients that he was treating there. And the miracle, people praying for Dr. Kent Brantley, he was spared, he was cured. Well, as Nan and I were in the hospital room, so was Dr. Brantley with his mom and dad. And we just joined hands around Monica's hospital bed, and we prayed. I led us in prayer. And then when I was finished, Dr. Brantley's mother, Mrs. Brantley, was standing on the other side of Monica, and she put her hand on Monica's shoulder and said this to her, "God has you here. God has you here. You are safe in his hands. God has you here." I want to tell you something. That spoke to my heart. And friends, you need to know that as a child of God, your life is unstoppable. Not even death can stop it. And when you breathe your last breath here, you will be more alive than ever before. And so you can trust him with everything else. Lord, I thank you for these glorious truths of the gospel in the life that we have through Jesus and the victory that he has won for us in the cross and in the resurrection. Lord, I pray that as we close our service, that we will respond to you with hearts of faith, with a vision of the glory of Christ and the presence of Christ and the grace of Christ and the purposes of Christ that are working in our lives, even when we go through tough circumstances. We thank you in Jesus' name.